Hello and welcome to SurfCRM.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group, and today I'm going to delve into a topic of great interest for me and our readers, and that is customer personalization efforts. So to start, customer personalization has been a key theme for marketers and for sales teams over the past couple of years. Personalization uses customer data, such as demographics and preferences, to tailor more specific communications to customers and even to prospects. But while this marketing approach has promise, companies are still trying to figure out how to accomplish personalization effectively without sounding generic or without being intrusive. So joining me today to talk about some of these issues is Ernan Roman, founder and principal at ERDM Corp, Voice of Customer Marketing Research. So, Ernan, welcome.
Lauren, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to join you for this idea exchange.
I'm so happy to have you here. We've been publishing some of your thought pieces on the site, and now we get a chance to talk about some of these issues live. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Likewise.
So first, I want to start by asking how for you to describe for our listeners Voice of Customer Research. What is it, and how do you come up with it?
Okay. Voice of Customer Research is a technique that we've evolved over the years to, and it's evolved to meet the needs of clients like IBM or HP or Gilt or QVC and MassMutual, who are looking to understand how their customers are defining higher levels of engagement, higher levels of value, higher levels of relevance in the communications that these thought leader brands are delivering or sending. And so we realized that to get an in-depth understanding of how B2B and B2C customers or prospects of these companies feel, that we needed to have an in-depth conversation. And so our folks who are former CMOs and PhDs engage in hour-long conversations, telephone interviews, with these folks to understand how they feel about the relevance, value, etc., timeliness of these communications, and where they see gaps or often chasms relative to expectations versus delivery, and specific recommendations and actions they want taken. So that's led to this VOC methodology, again, based on hour-long in-depth interviews. And so in responding to the questions that you'll be posing, the insights that I'll share are based on results of over 15,000 hours of one-to-one telephone interviews with the customers' prospects of those brands that I just mentioned, and how these customers have articulated their lack of satisfaction or their expectation for much better levels of personalization and value. So it's very much a research-based insights that I'm looking forward to sharing.
Terrific. So that kind of gives us a direct line to what customers of some of these technologies experience in terms of success and failure with using some of these technologies and practices. So now to that end, let's talk a little bit about personalization. Personalization has been a major theme in CRM over the better part of last year and probably for a couple of years. So let me ask, how has personalization developed over, say, 2015? And how have companies learned more about their customers as a result of using technologies and best practices associated with personalization?
It's a great question. And again, let me answer it in terms of the wisdom of the customer and specific quotes that have come from the last 4 or 5 months of VOC research we've conducted for these thought leader brands. And I thought the best way of responding to that question would be to actually share some of the research insights or some of the research quotes. And so I guess to introduce it and frame it, Lauren, there's across the board dissatisfaction with companies' attempts at personalization as we look at the efforts that have gone on in 2014, 2015, and the early part of 2016. And listen to some of these quotes, because I think these quotes say it succinctly and pretty damningly. So here's a B2B executive. What we receive is not smart personalization. They are not personalizing to the things that matter to me and my business. So here we are in 2016. That's a very damning thing to hear. This is not smart personalization. So that's a B2B insight. Here's a consumer insight that's also, that's fascinating in how sophisticated their expectation. I want more than just buying history-based emails. With today's technology, I expect the emails, the offers, the communications to reflect my individual interests and preferences. Now, that's a consumer in the merchandise, in the apparel sector, making that comment. So that's not a CIO. That's not a B2B exec. That's a savvy consumer, and she absolutely expects much greater levels of personalization. Other folks from that luxury VOC go on to say, gee, if what you consider personalization is, I got the blue Ferragamo shoes last time, and now you're very excited because you're telling me about the red Ferragamo shoes, you got to be kidding. Amazon was doing that years ago. Mm. So Amazon has also been a very interesting frame of reference per our VOC in terms of, for both B2B and B2C decision makers, saying Amazon has got to be the minimum threshold. If they can scale their recommendation engine or Netflix to do what they do, you guys have to be way beyond that. And if you can't even match what Amazon does, then, you know, you haven't even met minimum table stakes. So I think the bottom line answer then to your question, based on these kinds of quotes, is that notwithstanding all the talk about customer engagement, all the technology platforms, personalization as currently deployed by the majority of companies in 2015, 2016, isn't close to satisfying customer expectations. So, Lauren, my takeaway? Marketers are kidding themselves when they say they're doing personalization. What they're really doing? They're putting lipstick on tired, old-fashioned transactional emails and then blasting them from the newest models of expensive CRM technology. So the end result is still the same. It's high volume, it's irritating, it's doing more brand damage than ever before, and it's still spray and pray. Hence, quotes like we've gotten in other VOC, which is, these emails are so old-fashioned. So I think as I look at some of the summary of the VOC quotes, this is not smart personalization, or this is so old-fashioned, is a very important voice of customer indictment as to how customers feel about what they're getting.
So that's all extremely well said and echoes some of our own findings on the site. So let me ask you this, because part of what we like to examine is, you know, there are technologies being applied here in terms of creating so-called personal email that uses your name or your location or your supposed preferences. So part of this is technology. Part of this may be about more than technology. Could you give us a little bit of elaboration on what you think is going on here in terms of where these personalization providers are missing the mark? Is it about technology? Is it about other business processes? Is it about culture? What's going on here?
Well, that's a tremendous question. Ironically, no, this isn't about technology. The technology that exists today far, far, far outstrips marketers' ability to use it to satisfy customer needs. And so, no, it's not technology. The limitations are the creativity of marketers, the metrics that are being used, and the understanding, which is also tied to metrics and compensation, that the biggest wins are not in acquisition, but the biggest wins are on retention, deepening relationship, and repeat sales. And so marketers keep talking about customer engagement, customer experience, value of the customer, and all that. stuff, which really turns out to be puffery, if the compensation and the way that their key metrics are focused on are acquisitions. So if it's acquisition that you're thinking about, then it's hunt and kill and spray and pray to get the greatest volume, and churn becomes secondary. Well, the essence of personalization is achieving deep engagement. And if really you don't care about that, because all you care about is the front end, then you're not going to be motivated to be thoughtful or strategic or disciplined about true personalization, which means capturing what Lauren cares about, capturing how Lauren's needs as a business or as a consumer are changing over time, which gets into the exquisite area of progressive profiling, which most marketers haven't a clue about, and therefore understanding ongoing personalization over time, which is the real golden ring. So it is not a technology limitation. It's a marketing thinking limitation in not understanding what drives the real ROI, which is engagement and lifetime value, which also drive the greatest profits. So, you know, I was thinking about our conversation and received a call a couple of years ago from a CMO. And that call was the beginning of a pattern we're seeing in companies who are coming to us for the VOC research. And what she said was, I woke up last night in a cold sweat. And again, she is a CMO of a Fortune 100 company. And what she was saying was, we've invested millions in new CRM technology and platforms. And I woke up in the middle of the night saying, we've never asked our customers how they define more relevance, greater value of the communications. And so I am terrified that we're going to be using new CRM to automate our old bad behaviors. And I thought that was a brilliant, candid way of phrasing, we're going to use CRM to automate our bad behavior. So it is, you know, and increasingly we're seeing that we're receiving calls from CIOs, which again is unusual for us as a marketing firm, as a market research firm, to be getting contacted by a CIO or a CTO, as well as CMOs who are saying, just throwing money against the CRM platform has not worked, has not delivered the breakthrough in response rates, and the unsubscribe, the churn, etc. rate are getting higher and higher, and response rates continue to decline. So the overall industry average in terms of response rates has not appreciably changed in 10 plus years. So it's empirical that it isn't working, and the reason it's not working is because people are not doing real personalization. Those few companies that have gotten it have seen 400, 500, 600, 1,000% increases in response. But those are the exceptions, unfortunately, to the rule.
So let me ask you this, because you set the stage very nicely for maybe a complicated question. But what could bring about some attitude shifts that could encourage companies really to think about the long-term relationship, to think about customer retention, and to be customer-centric? How could that improve their personalization efforts, say, this year?
So let me answer that question by talking about some very recent work that we've been doing with MassMutual. And this is an ongoing process, and we've done now 5 VOCs for MassMutual because the CMO is very focused on transforming this 165-year-old company. And what we've learned over the years of working and doing these VOCs is that, and their focus is both B2C, the consumer, in terms of retirement planning and insurance, as well as B2B in terms of corporations, and the decision makers such as CFO or owner or president or benefits administrator for 401k planning, retirement planning. So B2B and B2C focus to understand how folks are feeling about their personalization, their engagement efforts. And what has come out of this is a realization that if you look at MassMutual's business, actuarial firm, insurance, financial planning, they have tons of traditional demographic, transactional data, in fact, much richer than almost any marketer would have, because they have to know so much about the individual consumer as well as the business. And their traditional approach to segmentation and personalization, and they've invested heavily in it, did not change response rates appreciably or unsubscribe rates. What we learned across a number of the VOC research efforts was that there is a need for education, there is a need for guidance, and what people were saying was, in spite of privacy concerns, if we trust the brand, and MassMutual is certainly a trusted 165-year-old company, that we, in spite of privacy concerns, we will tell you deep information about ourselves as consumers, when we were interviewing consumers, or the business executives relative to their companies and those needs. We will tell you deep information in exchange. This is the beautiful and the pivotal part. We will give you deep information in exchange for more personalized communications, offers, educational opportunities, whatever it may be appropriate to a B2B or a B2C setting. And so what has come out of this is an understanding that consumers totally get, and here I'm using the term to encompass B2B and B2C, consumers are saying, they are frustrated with the spray and pray. They're smart enough and sophisticated enough to realize that they need to provide more information to marketers in order to get more personalized communications, offers, and value. And they are looking, therefore, for a reciprocity where their precious data has value. And if they're going to give it to a company, they darn well expect something in exchange. And so that's led us, we've seen it now so consistently across thousands of hours of research, that we call this reciprocity of value equation for the exchange of human data. Taking that deep data and now running it through those technology platforms, that's what is driving the exponential increases in response for companies like MassMutual. So that's what goes into it, this reciprocity of value equation, and then this deep human data, that's what we'll achieve, deep personalization, and the numbers are there to prove it.
Well, Ernan, this has been a terrific conversation and has shed light on something that I think, as you mentioned, is an area of struggle for a lot of companies, to not provide this kind of tone-deaf, spray-and-pray marketing.
Exactly. And it's very good. It is very tone deaf because at this point in time, the consumer is so far ahead in their expectations, and it's still such an exception to find somebody who does true preference-driven personalization. And, you know, just to round out your question, what MassMutual has seen from this, according to their tracking over time and their controlled population, is 94% higher open rates, 1,062% higher engagement with content, 0% unsubscribes, 100% deliverability. So the numbers are truly profound, but it's as logical as asking B2B, asking B2C how they define personalization, how their attitudes toward MassMutual, toward insurance or retirement planning need to be captured and used to drive targeted communications.
Well, this is all an area of great interest for us and for you, so I think we're going to be watching this during the course of this year, and I hope you'll come back and talk further about this issue and hopefully others.
Be happy to, and be happy to share ongoing learnings from other VOCs that are currently in progress to see what we learn relative to the growing expectations of customers, again, both B2B and B2C, for the level of value, relevance, personalization that they darn well expect marketers to be providing them now. So thank you for these really smart questions.
Oh, well, thank you for providing such interesting answers. And we're going to be watching this. And so I hope this will be the first of many conversations.
Well, thank you very much. Kind of you to say.
And for more on CRM and personalization, you can always check out searchcrm.com and our new site, SERPsalesforce.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.